Thank you, Kirk. And let's turn now in our Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. And I'm going to read the first 23 verses of Daniel 2. Let's hear now God's holy word. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." When the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dreams, and we will give its interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this reason, the king was angry and very furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then, with the counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand." Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts also to your wisdom, and learn some lessons from this passage of Scripture. We pray that we might be able to ascertain all the more that there is only one to whom we can rest, go to for the leading and true divine knowledge, and that is the Word of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, we pray, to understand, however, Daniel's dilemma and the situation that he faced, because we face similar situations in our own lives, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Little review. We remember the book of Daniel carries a message of God's sovereignty over all the nations and persons in his establishment of his kingdom. Through his Son, Jesus Christ, God reigns, who himself has been given the crown. And he has been made King of kings and Lord of lords. But going back to Daniel, we see all of this is prior to the revelation of the reign of Jesus Christ. If chapter 1 revealed to us here, Daniel, in a difficult situation, he and his fellows in the idolatrous defilement of Babylon. There you remember he was told that he was to be trained and educated and eat the king's food and drink the king's wines and so on. Well, Daniel and his companions were very accommodating in every way until it came to a matter of uncleanness. And it was, in fact, that the wine was unclean because it had been offered unto the gods. And the food was unclean because it, too, had been sacrificed to the gods. And Daniel made a deal. Instead of just refusing and crossing his arms, he went to the next in command and said, give us some time and let us eat just the water and the bread that are provided for us. And if we do not come through healthier than these others, then you've won your case. So he did. And of course, God proved by the health that Daniel and his companions showed and the exceeding brightness of their minds and their answers that God was with him, and Nebuchadnezzar recognized it. A wonderful example of how we can deal in a very antagonistic environment without starting a fight, without making a scene unnecessarily. Peace is the best way. Well, we learned these things in chapter 1. Then in the second chapter, we are coming to, and we have looked at and introduced to the subject of the higher purposes of God for the nations under the Messiah. And this is our first introduction to Daniel's knowledge of the Messiah by giving to him through Nebuchadnezzar's dream a picture of all the nations and how they are represented by various metals, the head of gold, the shoulders of silver, and the abdomen of brass, the legs of iron, and the feet of iron and clay mixed. And then there is that rock that is not cut with hands, and that rock came from the heavens and crashed at the feet of the great image, and the entire image then toppled over and was crushed and turned to the dust of the earth. That was the first glimpse that Daniel gave to a Gentile world, Babylon, as well as to his own people, of the Messianic kingdom that was coming. And we'll get into the interpretation more in the future. But right now, let's look again at Daniel's dilemma, because we had stated when we were studying the book of Daniel that it's not just about formulating the forms of prophecies and interpreting the prophecies. It's also a very personal thing that we can identify with, because Daniel was a covenant citizen in the kingdom of God, as we are, but he was living under the sovereign reign of a pagan and alien nation, and we are as well. And how does Daniel cope? And how does God give him hope? And how does then he survive through this and still give a great witness? We will learn these lessons also as we study the book of Daniel. But now we find that God is indeed demonstrating his sovereignty over all nations. As Paul stated in Acts chapter 17, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, it is he that has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling so that they should seek the Lord. That's Acts 17, verses 24 and 26 and 27. Nebuchadnezzar, sovereign of ancient Babylon, would have to learn this lesson himself. In this, among all the other kingdoms of the Gentile world, he was the most blessed. And we will see that, how that it is he that is represented as the head of gold in the dreams, the image of the dream that he had. Most blessed. But now let's look at this particular dream that Nebuchadnezzar is given, as we see here in the first 23 verses of Daniel 2. Now, we all understand that dreams can be very disturbing. Dreams can be have great impact. I've been having quite a number of them myself, and they disturb you, or they cause you to think and look at things differently during the day after. Well, this one was unlike any dream that you or I have ever had. Nebuchadnezzar was deeply troubled. And the thing about it is, it wasn't different dreams revealing different aspects of his personality or his interpretation of life. This was one dream, and it kept coming. It came as though it was from another source, not his own mind. It was given to him, and it took away his sleep. It made him a rather desperate man. So he called and said, "Send for my men, the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, astrologers. Tell me what I dreamed." He's a rather desperate person. Death was threatened to the cream of the intelligentsia of the empire because of this dream. So important was it, including Daniel and his companions. The most exalted monarch, the mightiest man in the whole world, was scared because he saw great matters and he knew them to be, and events before him, and matters that might well be suggesting his own fate and his doom. So what do men do when they have dreams like this, or when they are impacted by a vision or news that may signal the end of the world, the end of their culture, the end of their own life? A lump is found somewhere. They see global warming and the warnings that come out, record hurricanes and tornadoes. We see all of this. New diseases, they still talk about the possibility of a pandemic that may yet be in the making, for which we are unprepared, like the Spanish flu of 19-teens. We look to our political prognosticators, we get our experts come together, we watch the TV programs while they just talk into each other's face. But we think of something like this terrible calamity that took place, this car, and the two people, pedestrians, 20 people altogether killed in one stroke. Who could have known it? And suddenly we realize our own mortality. This disturbs us. And that's what was going on with Nebuchadnezzar. Where do people go? Well, Nebuchadnezzar went to the only sources he had. We would look to medical science. We would look to law enforcement. We would look to lawmakers. We would look to the Department of Motor Vehicles for these kind of things. But Nebuchadnezzar had only the enchanters and the magicians and sorcerers and astrologers to refer to. So it says in verse 9 of Daniel 2, "If you want to make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. You have to agree to keep from speaking lies to me. I have to know that you know what you're talking about. Before you interpret the dream, tell me it." Now, why did Nebuchadnezzar insist that he be told the dream before the interpreters could interpret it? Why not tell them the dream and then let them interpret it? Well, we know pretty well. You give an interpretation to anything and it can sound authentic. You can make it sound authentic if you give them the content of the dream. But it would be a test of whether they were really receiving divine knowledge from their gods if they could tell him the dream. That would be proof that their interpretation would be true. So for all their claims, Nebuchadnezzar was saying, "Talk is cheap. Show me you really are in touch with the gods and can be trusted to predict the future by telling me what my dream actually was." But of course, these men were bankrupt. They couldn't do it. They only look at him in astonishment and say, "Oh, no, king, great and mighty, however they may be, there is not any magician or enchanter or astrologer that can tell you what the dream is." But he insisted on it. And you know, it kind of brought to my mind today, modern psychology. You know what psychology means is the study of the soul. And the technique of modern psychology is, come and tell me what's on your mind. And you tell them about this experience and how you react and your paranoia and your dream, and then your bad reaction to a certain situation, and now you're very troubled. And what does the psychologist or the psychiatrist tell you? He says, what do you think about it? I came here to receive some understanding of myself, and you're asking me to explain myself to you? Some insight. But that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar was avoiding with these men. They say, we will tell you the dream, but what do you think about the dream? Tell us what it is. And then they could go on and on and on. Well, the result, of course, was that Nebuchadnezzar was very angry. And he's concluding then, if you can't discern the revelation sent from your gods, then I'm going to cut your heads off and burn your families and your homes to ashes. And so he did. He determined and sent out a decree that all the astrologers and soothsayers and men of wisdom would be put to death. And the knock came to Daniel's door. They hadn't even been asked about the dream initially. But Daniel, as soon as he heard that, did as he did in chapter 1. Instead of fuming or protesting or demanding, he talked first to Arioch. Why did the king issue such a harsh decree, he says. He went to the next in line, you see. Now, since he had already proved himself before the king with this matter of eating food and not drinking the wines and so of the kings, he had earned for himself great respect from Nebuchadnezzar. So from Arioch, he went directly to the king and he asked the king, give me some time. Let me sleep on it. And the Lord God, we will see if He Himself does not give you the dream and the interpretation that you seek. Give me some time. And that gave him time not to conspire and find a way of escape, but to seek the Lord. And so he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come, we need to pray. And in verse 18 it says, plead for mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery, men. And then he would pray, Lord, reveal to us the mystery. What dream did you give to Nebuchadnezzar? Grant us the knowledge of that revelation. And that night, the vision came. The revelation was given as Daniel slept. So Daniel appears before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar is astonished. Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? And Daniel, very wisely, didn't say, yes, I can. He said, no man can. Not the wisest man on earth can do this. He accomplishes two things by that wise answer. Number one is he takes the glory from himself. He doesn't assume the position of being a better astrologer, better than the magicians. He gives all the glory to God. And secondly, he preserves the school of wise men that Nebuchadnezzar had been relying upon up to this point. So persuading the king not to put these men to death, because Daniel, the wisest man in Babylon, himself couldn't tell him the dream from his own wisdom. So we see the tremendous wisdom that Daniel has shown. And then he tells him, there is a God in heaven who reveals these mysteries, and he begins his witness. At this point, Daniel begins his witness to King Nebuchadnezzar. All of this has happened before you even get to the prophecy, to the dream itself or its interpretation. I think that there's something very important for us to understand in all of this, and that is sometimes we miss the forest for the trees. We sometimes lose the whole big picture of focusing on the details. Yes, we will study next time the head of gold and how it was Nebuchadnezzar, and how the shoulders of silver matched together with the Persian and Median empires. They were combined, and you get two shoulders, you get two empires. And then we will learn about how the Macedonian Empire under Alexander, no, rather the Assyrian empire follows that, and how then the Macedonian Empire steps in, and from there Rome, which is like iron. We will learn about these things in the future, and it will be repeated in different orders. But right now, it's important for us to understand this. There is only one who understands all wisdom, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest wisdom of all is not having the answers to things. The greatest wisdom of all is a behavior that demonstrates the fear of God. That is wisdom. No, I can't tell you technical stuff of medicine or of automobiles or of astronomy or all these other things, but I can tell you how to live. And there is wisdom. And that's what it's all about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. You will have lived a wise life because of that. And this is where Daniel emerges first, a man who lived what he preached. And that turns us to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want wisdom? Turn to Him. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Yes, it was Jesus who unfolded the meaning of prophecy when He explained His death and suffering and resurrection to the men of Emmaus after He had risen from the dead. His explanation of that which the scholars and scribes have been pondering over for centuries, He explains and elucidates to these two men. And it is Jesus Christ Himself who provides the prophecy in all that He has foretold about Himself in Matthew 16:21, His betrayal, His suffering, His death, His resurrection, and His prophecies concerning His return again in Matthew 24, in Luke 13, in Mark 13, in Luke 21. There Jesus explains it all, prophesying the things that should come directly and speaking it from His own personal knowledge, not through dreams, but by His own words. This is where wisdom is. You want that wisdom? You want to benefit better than Nebuchadnezzar? Then follow Jesus Christ. He knows where He's going. He knows what's going to happen. He knows how to make it work for you. And He knows how to make you secure in the godly life. Let's learn, as Daniel did, to honor God in all our ways and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is wisdom. And the prophecy will take care of itself from Him who has ordained all things. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves unto You now. We ask that we would be wise like Daniel, and when met with a challenge in life, a threat, that we turn to You in prayer and ask for You to give to us wisdom. Help us to surrender our concern about tomorrow into Your hands. Help us, O Lord, we pray, to be witnesses to others, whether of authority or not. And grant to us, we pray, in these ways we may demonstrate, indeed, the mind and wisdom of Daniel. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.